This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Well, thanks for joining this week's radio show. Remember, this is your final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is now show number 416. This episode is provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. It's also sponsored by Microsoft, your go-to resource for collaboration tools your company needs to be successful. Well, on today's show, I found that while running my own small businesses, the only constant was really change. I had to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And almost a daily basis, I had to face my fears to move ahead with my company. On today's show, we'll talk about how to navigate some of the scariest moments in your business and your life. We're also going to preview National Entrepreneurship Week, sponsored by Microsoft, that's coming up on February 20th. But first, many people can start one company or two or maybe three like I did. But what does it take to start 40 different companies? Tom Hogan is co-founder of Crowded Ocean, a Silicon Valley-based marketing firm that specializes in launching startups. The company has launched over 40 startups to date, including some of the technology market leaders like Palo Alto Networks, Nimble Storage, and Sumo Logic. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Bill.
So what does it take to really start so many businesses?
Well, you know, to be clear, what it takes is something that we are not, and that is outstanding founders and the VCs in back of them. You know, we're brought in by either the VCs, the venture capitalists who provide funding, or by the founders of companies who've had the guts to go out on their own. And then we take them to market. So it's been, you know, an exciting ride, but we're not as involved in the risk. We've done our own startups in the past, and some of them have succeeded, some of them have failed, but, you know, we're lucky to get brought in by the players involved, both the VCs and these first-time entrepreneurs who need a lot of help.
Now, you talk about the startup founders need to have reverse their thinking hierarchy. What does that mean?
Well, and this is true not only of technology, it could be as much as Mrs. Fields and her cookies, you know, 30 years ago. But the idea is that a lot of these
I miss her. Do you?
Pardon?
I miss her.
Yeah, I do too. But the idea is that most of these people are funded because they had a unique idea that has a unique component to it. And just to have fun with it, we just call that level one, we call that dexahydrochloroquine. And it is that unique ingredient that maybe got them funded or got the other people of like minds to join their cause. So that's level one. Level two is whiter teeth. Level three is more dates. And level four is get lucky. And what we find out is that almost every client that we begin with starts at level one and thinks that if they can just explain their technology or their unique ingredient well enough, that the audience is just going to flock to the product and the company and the game is over. And what we need them all to do is go to the top of that pyramid to what does get lucky look like to their audience, and then drill down to why dexahydrochloroquine is the best way to get lucky. It's a lot cheaper to start at the top and then go down to your key ingredients than it is to build up from your technology and hope that you don't lose your audience along the way.
So are these the four unique practices that you talk about, or is that something else?
That's something else, is that, you know, one of the things that we do, you know, we've done this long enough that we've got some scars and bruises that really have educated us. I think one of the first things that we do, and it's something called on-demand marketing, is that in this day and age, and it's not just marketing, I think the burden of proof is on any entrepreneur to justify a full-time hire. We have just become so specialized, and we've got so many strong people out there great in one task that you can keep your overhead down. You won't be carrying headcount that may have passed their prime or sitting around doing nothing. So our first role with our clients is to get them to think in terms of on-demand. The second thing that we do that's a little different is that a lot of companies are very product-centric. We try and be very sales-centric. We practice something called sales-based marketing, and that's the idea that the role of marketing comes down to three words: make sales easier. If you don't initiate the sales cycle, shorten it, or make repeat sales easier with what you're doing, don't spend money on it. So those are the kinds of legs that we're talking about on the four-legged stool. You know, there's also the idea of inbound, outbound marketing. And, you know, it's just the idea that at this stage of the game, clients really need to be taking a look at the market in a whole different direction. And those are the four elements that we talk about: inbound, outbound, something that we call whole brain marketing, where we want them to use both the left side and the logic, but also the right side and the very creative elements to make sure that they're hitting the market as hard as they can from as many angles.
I find that what's very interesting, Tom, is that a lot of entrepreneurs realize that in order for them to get leverage, in order for them to scale, they have to hire other people and give responsibility for them to do the other jobs. But I also see that a lot of entrepreneurs have a hard time getting out of this hub and spoke kind of organization where everything goes through them. What suggestions do you have to solve that problem?
That's a great question, and it really is, I think, the fundamental problem for first-time entrepreneurs is that everything that got them funded and got them into those new offices and attracted employees was very founder-centric and techno-centric. And now the whole idea is, how do they get out of their own way? How do they learn to delegate? How do they learn that they are going to have people who are smarter than them in different areas? Maybe it's the technology, which is the hardest thing for them to let go. But, you know, it's just hard for a founder, a first time, they see it as weakness to admit that they don't know something. You know, we've all heard the phrase, you know, they don't know what they don't know. Most of them know what they don't know. They just won't admit
it. That's right, exactly.
And, you know, and getting them to admit it and to, you know, I don't mean to sound like a counselor, ask for help, but the idea of asking for help means hiring people and delegating and moving on to another area of the company. That is the biggest challenge that most of these entrepreneurs have, as you said, of letting go.
Well, you've seen so many startups around, Tom. What have you found the real difference maker is between the ones that succeed and the ones that fail?
You know, I think in the old days, if you asked the VCs what they invested in, they invested in technology. And over the years, they have, if you ask them now, they will tell you that they invest in the team. They will invest in the talent. And it may be even to the point that a really talented team could come on in and the guys would look at them and go, you know, your idea is crap. We won't fund it, but we're funding you, and we were going to give you some money to go out and look at this market and come up with a brand new approach to it. So I think we're seeing this whole idea, first off, no longer are people investing in single person, single founder companies. They're looking for a team of maybe 2 to 4 really talented people who they think can get after a unique part of the marketplace and develop a compelling solution.
I think this is really true, because when I was an angel investor from 2000 to 2005, you know, I think that the idea is really meaningless. It's the execution of that idea that means everything, and that's really about the team.
Exactly.
So now you've taken all this advice and you've put this into a book. Tell us about it.
Well, the book is modestly called The Ultimate Startup Guide, and the reason that we felt we could get away with a title like that, it's not just the idea that, you know, it's got the insights and the experiences that we've had in launching 44 companies, but what was really nice is all of the entrepreneurs and all of the CEOs that we'd worked with over the last 8 years as Crowded Ocean volunteered to participate in the book and share their scars and bruises. And one company in particular, Sumo Logic, which is a very successful
right,
company
yes.
out here, was willing to be followed all the way through the 24 chapters of the book. Every chapter ends with a vignette about Sumo Logic, which shows how one company, you know, kind of traverses the entire arc of the startup. And then probably most important of the three ingredients besides ourselves and our founders, over 20 VCs, some of them ranked in the Midas top 50, meaning they funded the most successful companies in the world. The number one VC for the last 3 years being Jim Getz, who has brought us into 7 different clients. All of them participated and offered advice for each of the stages along the way. So that's the book. In essence, it's lessons from 44 startups, both from our perspective and the funders and the founders, and then, of course, the participation for the first time.
Jim, I got to leave it there.
In one place.
Thanks so much for being on the show. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. In Bartlett, Stearns Road at Sycamore Lane, there's a report of a crash. Now on the Kennedy, between the O'Hare Extension and Cumberland, both directions have road construction with the 3 left lanes blocked. That continues until 7 a.m. There is intermittent 15-minute full closures scheduled to occur as well. Again, that continues until 7 a.m. Also, the express lanes, they're closed between the junction and Ohio Street, and they're closed until 8 a.m. Now, on the Dan Ryan heading inbound at the Byrne Interchange, the exit ramp remains closed with ongoing construction. And also on Lakeshore Drive heading southbound between 18th and the Stevenson, the roadway is reduced down to 3 lanes. Tonight, 29 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 38 and partly cloudy. Currently, it's 33 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You know, the world didn't stop while you slept. Get the first look at what's happening around the world and here at home.
Scene of a plane crash in the remote French Alps.
With Don't This Morning there. With Gordon
Bruce
Deal.
Told CNN that he will follow the text of the law.
It's the breaking news and business information you'll need to start your day.
Here now with a look at some of the stories we're following.
Each weekday morning, starting at 4, right before Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Maltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling quite right, as if your body is working against you. Dr. Amy and Associates can help create a path to achieve optimal health. Experience personalized health care for your mind, body, and spirit at a practice that blends holistic and traditional medicine.
I was involved in a devastating head-on motorcycle accident, which left me broken, battered, and afraid. I turned to Dr. Amy and Associates to care for my broken body. With their help, I healed quickly. I was able to sleep, and the nightmare stopped. I was able to get back on the motorcycle without fear. Since they worked with my insurance, I've used them for allergy and food sensitivity testing, weight loss, massage, acupuncture, and life coaching. They use both Eastern and Western medicine and is a holistic practice like no other. I am so grateful for Dr. Amy and Associates.
Call Dr. Amy and Associates to experience a whole person integrative approach to health and wellness. 630-980-1400 or visit DrAmyAndAssociates.com. Dr. Amy and Associates, empowering people, changing lives.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, for better or for worse, I found that while running my own small businesses, the only constant was really change. I had to get comfortable actually with being uncomfortable almost on a daily basis. I had to face my fears to move my company ahead. Here to talk about how to navigate some of the scariest moments in your business is Julie Benazet, who has devoted her professional life to building companies, real estate, and careers. She currently works as an executive coach following 25 years in business and law. She's authored a great book. It's called The Journey of Not Knowing, How 21st Century Leaders Can Chart a Course Where There Is None. As a hardwired entrepreneur, Julie spent 4 years as Amazon's first real estate executive through the company's early steep ramp up phase to its emergence as an established business. Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It does get scary running your own business. What's the first step in really trying to, I guess, face the scary times?
The first step is to accept the scariness. We spend a lot of time avoiding it, that in our society it's not cool to be afraid. We're supposed to be in charge and confident. And if that's what we're pretending to be, we're ignoring what's really going on around us, and that is constant change. Our customers changing, our employees changing, the world is changing. And if we're pretending that we have it all under control, then we're ignoring what's really happening. So the first thing is to really say, this is a good thing to pay attention to what's happening and to be afraid of it, but not let it disable us.
Yeah, I think that's really true, because I tell people it's okay to be afraid and do it anyways. One of my favorite quotes, Julie, and this is, I always think about this when I speak in front of people, he said that we're never going to make those butterflies in our stomach go away. We just need them to fly in formation, right?
Definitely. I compare it to being a double diamond skier. I talk to people and say, okay, when you're at the top of that slope that has about a 90-degree angle down below you, are you going to tell me you're not really afraid? And even the most intrepid skiers would say, I'm terrified. But that's the great thing about it. It'll make me do it well.
So one of the things you talk about in your book, Julie, is that you have to, in order to get through some of these scary times, you have to define a real purpose and mission for your organization. How do you do that, and why does that help?
Well, there has to be a reason why you want to put up with all the scariness. We're not masochists. We actually have to have a reason to go through all this. So that to know why you're there is essential. And it does not have to be for you personally something that is a laudable reason. It could be so petty as to say, I'm going to go pull this off because I want to show my rivalrous older sister that I, too, know how to do things. Or I'm going to prove to my mother that I won't fail. And it's amazing how many women in business have that issue. Or it could be a broader plan is, I want to make the world safer for democracy. Something that really pulls you and compels you that makes it worth the scariness of trying new things.
Is this a personal goal, you just said, or a personal purpose? Or does it have to be something for the entire organization?
Well, that's a good question. You should have a personal purpose for yourself because you have to navigate your own fear. But then you convert it into what works for the organization. And whatever that is can be it's anything from, okay, we want to be the smartest, most known as the most adventurous, innovative shop in town. So everybody wants to work here and get excited about that. Or it could be we want to show and name your favorite competitor that we can beat them. And that, too, is serviceable.
Right.
If that elevates people and wants them to, makes them want to do their best work, then it works as a purpose for the organization.
We're talking with Julie Benazet. She wrote a great book called The Journey of Not Knowing, How 21st Century Leaders Can Chart a Course Where There Is None. Julie, one of the things you say in the book, and I just love this, you say, recognize that human beings are messy.
Yes. Part of the not knowing is not only not knowing what is going to be the best idea that's going to work out there that you have to test, you also don't know how people are going to behave. The wonderful thing about working with people is they do amazing things. And the terrible thing about working with people is they do amazing things, and not always the things you want them to do. And when you ask them to go do something that's new, what can happen is they're going to throw up a wall of defensive behaviors. They will find another reason to do something else. They will tell you it's not going to work. They will simply do a bad job. So one of the things that you have to do is to overcome those defenses to find a way that you can bring them along in your new scary adventure.
And one of the other things you talk about is that you say accept failure on the way to success. And I find what's really interesting is that a lot of people can't accept they fail. And the biggest problem with that is they can't let it go, right?
Yes, yes. Well, there's a lot of reasons why failure has some stickiness to it. It could be anything down to family of origin stuff, that at your home you were never good enough and it's hitting old nerve endings. Or it could be you're in a culture where people just put you down for failing. And so that one of the things you need to do as a business owner is to say, hey, failure is good. It means we tried something new. And then create a culture on what you do with failure. A lot of times people don't have a strategy once a failure occurs. And instead, one of the things that you can do for your team is say, okay, we have to have a plan B because plan A may or may not work. So the second is we want to hear how things are going and collect feedback early and often. And third is if it fails, let's absolutely celebrate it. Okay, we tried something. Now what did we learn? Or you can certainly simply grieve, okay, that was sad. All right, bummer. Let's move forward. But make it, instead of a negative, make it a positive.
You know, it's funny, Julie, because that's always my strategy. You know, when I fail, I grieve, I cheer the darkness, I have a pity party. But then after 24 hours, I try to learn what I can. You can't always learn the lesson now. Let go and move on. And I find that letting go and moving on gives yourself another chance of success.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that's the critical part. And I think that's one of the things you talk about in the book is you have to know when to move forward. And I find that too many people get stuck in exactly where they are, so they can't, as you say, navigate through the scary times.
Yeah, and one of the things about moving forward is you have to find another dream or you have to find a different way to get at it. These ideas are all, by definition, new, so a lot of them are going to fail. And if you say, all right, how else am I going to figure out which is the right thing, like trying another way of getting at it? If you think of the image of a labyrinth, that when you're coming up with a new idea, you have to enter this labyrinth, and it's full of lots of turns and twists, and it's dark, and there's not a road map in there. And so the only way to get through and to the other side, to a new dream, is to keep testing different channels. So that in your business is to say, okay, this road didn't work. Let's turn and try a different one.
So what suggestions would you have? I mean, if we take a look at the broader scale of things, certainly in this country, it is more of a scary time. The country's still divided. Whatever you think of Donald Trump, he definitely is unpredictable. So how would you have people deal with scary times, perhaps, that they're dealing in the larger issue of their life and what's going on with them in this country?
I don't know what you describe Donald Trump as. You know, no matter what you think of it, unpredictable, I think, is an understatement. I'm spending my days with my clients, spending the first half hour of our sessions kneading their hands over what to do with the chaos. And the important thing to think about is, what are your own values? What do you care about? You have to take the long-term view as whatever happens, what do you believe at your core? That you believe in a diverse society. You believe in mixing it up. You believe in people getting a chance. You believe, though, in not taking ridiculous chances. But it requires you to reach down and say, what really matters to me? What is going to give me ballast? That at the end, I believe humans actually have good things in mind, so I'll wait this out. And accessing that in these times. And frankly, the most important thing in this not knowing is to accept the fact you need to discover. A lot of people are finding themselves having conversations at the dinner table they never thought they'd have, or those family holidays when they arrive at the table and find out their cousin voted for the other person. And how do you begin that conversation? So part of the journey of not knowing is going and learning what the other person really believes and living through the discomfort of hearing things that you may not yourself go towards, but if you stay with it, you may find yourself shifting and coming to some better understanding of it. And I think right now you've got a lot of people rushing to judgment, trying to get things settled down and rationalize before we know enough.
Julie, I think it's great advice. If you want to get in touch with Julie, you can go to www.journeyofnotknowing.com. Julie, thanks for your advice. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Coming up, an entrepreneur who created a product to make her children healthier. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You need to understand that the way you build wealth is you do not use the evening news or CNN or Fox to set the tone of your emotions around your investing.
The Dave Ramsey Show.
If you're thinking of changing your investing patterns because you're watching the news, you need to turn off the news. You are in charge of your destiny.
Dave Ramsey. Weeknights starting at 7. Presented by Wintrust Community Bank on AM 560. The Answer.
Fox News Radio, I'm Carmen Roberts. An appeals court says no to the travel ban.
It's a blow for the president, who's defended it all week.
Sky News' Siobhan Roberts in Washington. This morning, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals rejects an emergency request from the Justice Department to reinstate President Trump's travel ban on 7 mostly Muslim countries. A Seattle judge lifting the ban Friday, angering the president.
And he tweeted, "What is our country coming to when a judge can halt a Homeland Security travel ban and anyone, even with bad intentions, can come into the U.S.?"
Fox's Garrett Tenney, the appeals court asking both sides to reply by tomorrow. And it's a mess in Suffolk, Virginia, after a freight train carrying coal derails. The Norfolk Southern Railroad says the cleanup and repairs will be extensive and ongoing. Fox News, we report, you decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss with a look at the roadways. In Bartlett, Stearns Road, just west of Bartlett Road, there's a report of a crash. Also on the Bishop Ford, if you're heading inbound, there's an accident reported on the ramp from inbound Bishop Ford to outbound I-57. Also on the Kennedy, if you're heading inbound or outbound, the both directions have road construction going on between the O'Hare Extension and Cumberland. 3 left lanes are blocked in both directions until 7 a.m. Also on the outbound lanes at Cumberland, that on-ramp remains closed until 7 a.m. as well. And the express lanes currently closed until 8 a.m. Also on the Stevenson heading inbound between State and Lakeshore, there's long-term road construction in place. And on Lakeshore Drive, heading northbound between 31st and the Stevenson, the roadway is reduced down to 3 lanes. Tonight, 29 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 38 and partly cloudy. Currently, 33. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560. The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMoltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
If I only had more leads, if I only had more prospects to sell to. Sound familiar? The Sales Prospecting Group is ready to help you take your business to the next level. The Sales Prospecting Group is a local Chicagoland company that has helped hundreds of companies nationwide to secure new business by getting them in the door. The Sales Prospecting Group will get you appointments with qualified prospects to help you grow your business. They don't use contract labor or offshore callers. Their in-house staff of business account executives are highly trained. professional and effective. The Sales Prospecting Group will build a custom campaign specifically for your business. They know how to navigate complex corporate hierarchies to get to the right people and get you connected with them. The Sales Prospecting Group specializes exclusively on B2B sales. Call the Sales Prospecting Group now to learn how they could help your business grow in 2017. 630-701-9052. 630-701-9052. The Sales Prospecting Group. It's time to grow.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, many products develop out of a pain that a parent sees. My next guest started a company to help her children. Heather McDowell is the founder and CEO of Tickle Water, a brand of naturally flavored sparkling water designed for kids. A New York-based entrepreneur, Heather launched the company to provide a fun but healthy, sugary-free, preservative-free beverage choice for families. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Barry, for having me.
You're welcome. So talk about how you came up with this idea.
Well, it was inspired by my son, Jager. He was always reaching for my sparkling water. I usually have some sort of sparkling water in hand. And one day I decided, why not? I'll give him a little bit of my bubbles. And I told him it would tickle his tongue. And he took his first sip of carbonation and loved it. And the next day was asking me for tickle water. And I realized if we add a little bubbles, a little bit of natural flavor, and a really fun package, we can get our kids drinking water instead of asking for juice and Slurpees and sodas and things like that are loaded with sugar.
So what made you think that you could actually pull this off? Because I think a lot of parents have this idea that, hey, well, I can get this product going. And what made you think you could be successful at it?
Well, before I took the first leap forward, I had a lot of conversations with families, friends, parents, and asked, number one, do your kids like sparkling water? Number two, would you buy it for them? I did some like focus groups, not paid focus groups, but just on my own, and really realized that there was a white space and that parents wanted a healthy alternative, a healthy beverage for their kids, but they had a hard time finding it. And there are no sparkling waters on the market that are really created with kids in mind. I mean, you can always give them a big glass bottle of Perrier or Pellegrino or anything that's out there, but something that's really created for kids and makes them feel like we thought of them is special. And I think it makes them want that.
So how'd you create that first batch of Tickle Water?
Well, we're working with a great co-packer, and we work with a great flavor house to create all natural flavors. And we taste tested, and we made sure that we would launch with three solid flavors and then one just natural sparkle water with no flavors in it at all. And we just knew that they were going to be a hit. There were ups and downs, but we created a great product. It's an amazing package, and it's clear and transparent, and people can see that it's just pure, clean water.
And Heather, give us an idea, because a lot of people are afraid to take the steps you did. What kind of investment did you or your co-founders make to actually get this on the shelves?
Well, we're a privately held company now. We are looking to possibly go out and raise money to build the brand and really scale it across the United States in the future. But, you know, you have to start small, and a lot of it's organic and guerrilla, and it's a belief that we're onto something and that we're creating a better product for our kids and for families. And I think that there's a lot of people that are supporting me and behind the mission.
You know, a lot of people where they get tripped up in trying to get consumer retail products out there is to get into the stores. How did you do that?
It's definitely a challenge, but I think it's believing in the product. So when you approach these stores or the distributors, and you're really selling to them so that they sell it to the stores and the stores can sell it to the consumers, we have to believe what we have is something really special and that it's something that's going to be on the shelf that people will actually take off the shelf and buy and continue to buy, not buy one time, but buy multiple times. And I think it's part of my job as a founder and the creator to say, I believe in this and I put my whole life behind it. Every hour of my day is behind it. My son inspired it, and financially I'm behind it. And that's because I believe in it. So I think if you have that backing, the distributors and the stores, they start to listen.
Mm-hmm. If you have that passion. Now, I know one of the ways that you test market this, you say, is that you actually took this to playgrounds to go right to the consumers.
I did, yeah. Before we decided on our flavors and decided that we were going to move forward with this, I wanted to find out if kids liked the flavors, what flavors were the top of the list, if they liked the bubbles and all of that. So, yeah, I held a couple taste tests in the playgrounds in Manhattan and had, I think, like 50 kids come over. I had them write little check boxes for their favorite flavors, and it was a total hit.
And so what would you say is next? What kind of distribution have you been able to achieve, and where do you hope to get the product into?
Well, we have big goals. Right now we're in the Northeast, primarily New York, Connecticut, New Jersey area, as well as online on Amazon and TalDepot.com. But we really want to expand up and down the Northeast and maybe in the next 2 years go national. But it's a process. I really want to prove the brand works in my backyard, which is New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area. And, you know, we want to eventually have it available to everybody across the United States and perhaps beyond.
I think it's fantastic. Well, Heather, thanks for being on the show. If you want to get in touch with Heather or see where you can get Tickle Water for yourself or your children, go to www.drinktickleWater.com. Heather, thanks so much, and congratulations on your success.
Oh, thank you so much, Barry. I'm glad I could be on.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to an entrepreneur who's made a fortune sanitizing bathrooms. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer. From the Alarm Detection Systems Traffic Center.
I'm Paul Bodenloss. We'll look at the roadways. Dan Ryan inbound at 83rd. There's a rollover crash. It has the three right lanes blocked. Also on the Bishop Ford, if you're heading inbound at I-57, there's a crash reported on that ramp from inbound Ford to outbound I-57. Now up north on the Kennedy, there's some overnight road construction still in place between the O'Hare Extension and Cumberland. Three left lanes remain blocked until 7 a.m. in both directions. Also, outbound lanes at Cumberland, that on-ramp is closed. And the express lanes continue to be closed until 8 a.m. this morning. Also on the Stevenson inbound between State and Lakeshore, long-term road construction is in place. But again, on the Dan Ryan inbound at 83rd Street, a rollover crash has the three right lanes blocked. Tonight, 29 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 38 and partly cloudy. Currently, it's 33 degrees. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Microsoft knows the only constant is change, especially when it comes to technology we use to help run our businesses. Technology should be an asset, one that helps you to anticipate, manage, and respond quickly to change. It should also help your organization reduce costs and get more from the investments you make. Looking at the new tools and services coming out of Microsoft, it's immediately evident that the company is revolutionizing how it helps small businesses. Microsoft not only gets what small business need, but also how they want to work. When it comes to growing with greater efficiency, Microsoft technologies such as Office 365, Power BI, and the Azure Cloud Platform are helping small businesses answer some key questions. One, how quickly can we get new employees up and running with the tools they need? Two, how do we keep up with the massive growth in data needed to do business today? Three, are we getting the maximum return on our technology investments? With Microsoft, small businesses get solutions that help them grow their business with greater efficiency by reducing costs and getting exactly the technology you need when you need it. To learn more about the Microsoft products and services that will help give your company a competitive edge, visit modern.biz today. That's modern.biz.
With Barry's 25 years in small business, he has finally discovered the magic formula to make more profit at any company. Business gurus make it sound so complicated, but it's really simple. The formula is P times P equals P. P times P equals P, where people multiplied by process means more profit. Learn how you can take a quantum leap in just 180 days to grow the profit in your business. Contact Barry at barry@maltz.com. That's barry@maltz.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, most of you don't know this, but I am somewhat of a germ freak. I never travel far from my hand sanitizer, so I was excited to interview my next guest, who has made a fortune in sanitizing bathrooms. Pat Swisher is considered the founder of the commercial hygiene industry. He started Swisher Hygiene in 1983, took it public, and sold it to Wayne Huizenga, who's the former owner of the Miami Dolphins and Blockbuster. 5 years later, Pat started EnviroMaster and recently bought back his Swisher Book of Business from Ecolab and its leading nationwide expansion, including Chicagoland, where there are already two franchise owners. Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, Barry. How are you this morning?
I'm good. So tell me, how you even thought to get in this idea of sanitizing bathrooms?
Well, it kind of came from a combination of my background. I've been a serial entrepreneur since I got out of college. And I had experience in the restaurant industry and then went into the cable TV business when it was actually new and was somewhat of a niche business. And those experiences gave me an appreciation, being in the restaurant industry, of how important clean, good-smelling restrooms are. The cable TV business gave me an appreciation of the reoccurring revenue model. So if I could marry those two together and make it make sense to the customer, it could be a home run, and that's what I did way back in 1983.
So, Pat, before you got into the business, how were commercial bathrooms being cleaned in restaurants and airports and things like that? Was it just a mom-and-pop business, a local person, people who worked at the restaurant?
Correct, and it still is in the majority of the businesses out there today. You've got the janitorial industry. You've got busboys. You've got people, mom-and-pop owners who do it themselves. And that's the first thing we have to separate is what is the difference between a hygiene business and a commercial janitorial company? Well, I, at my office, for example, have a commercial janitorial company that comes in and does the mopping and dusting and vacuuming and emptying trash cans, the things we think about as a janitorial company. What a commercial hygiene company does is work in conjunction with the janitorial company to literally do what they cannot do, which is sanitization of public restroom facilities. Why are we concerned with the public restroom facilities? Think about that for a minute, Barry. How many times, where's the one place everybody goes during the business day? To the restroom. Think about places like stadiums, car dealerships, restaurants. They all go to a public restroom facility.
Pat, I try not to think about those places as much as I can, being a germ freak.
Well, let me paint a graphic picture for you. If somebody has the flu or a cold or some kind of a sickness and goes in and uses the bathroom and flushes the toilet, it shows historically that you get a million little water vapor particles that are ejected up to 20 feet away from a toilet. So that cross-contaminates every surface in a restroom. The sinks, the light fixtures, the countertops. And when you and I go into that bathroom and touch those fixtures and touch our eye or touch our nose, we've cross-contaminated ourselves. So what we do is we come in once a week, we work in conjunction with the janitorial company, we treat each fixture in the restroom with a germicidal spray that lasts from 7 to 9 days, shown effective in killing all pathogens. We also spray the entire restroom, hitting all surfaces with an electrostatic sprayer with a hospital-grade disinfectant. Not only does it kill germs, but it also kills bacteria that cause bad odors. Now, what makes this cost-effective is people are currently buying soap for their restrooms, they're buying air fresheners for their restrooms, they're buying brushes, gloves, disinfectants. With our service and our products, you don't need any of that. We actually position ourselves to save our customer money and get the service and products for free.
Now, what I really want you to do is every single time I go to a public restaurant room, I want you to go in there first before me and clean it all out, and then I'll follow you. Well, actually, one of the interesting things was, and you see this happen a lot, is you actually purchased your old business back, right?
I did.
How does that happen, and is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That, for us, was a great thing. my old company was the world leader in the hygiene business when I sold it to Mr. Huizenga, and I had a five-year non-compete. And during that 5 years, Barry, I'm like every other entrepreneur. I was out there looking for all different types of opportunities. But I came back to this business because of the five fundamentals that I think are so incredibly important, whether it's our business or any business an entrepreneur is looking to go into. And these were five fundamentals that were given to me by a very, very smart individual who later became head of the SBA and later became President Clinton's chief of staff, whose name was Erskine Bowles.
Sure. Pat, only give us a couple of these. We only got a minute left, so if you can give those really quickly.
Okay. These five fundamentals are, what are your capital requirements? Is it a recession-resistant business? Is it minimum competition? Not going to be outdated by technology? And is it a residual income model? Those were the five fundamentals he gave me that are so important today.
I like that. I think the residual income one is very important because too many entrepreneurs have to recreate their income every single month, right?
Correct. We're a building block business. We continue to build month after month, year after year on the accounts we sold the year before.
Okay. Well, listen, if you want to get in touch with Pat, he's going to be coming and cleaning my bathroom right before I – actually sanitizing it. You can go to www.enviromaster.info. It's enviro-master.info. Pat, thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Barry. Bye-bye.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about something exciting that's coming up on February 20th to 24th. Microsoft is sponsoring the first ever National Entrepreneurship Week. We're going to talk about how you can participate. This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Get a copy of Barry's new book, BAM, where he shows how social media and our self-service world has rewritten all the rules of customer service. The best marketing now is BAM, good customer service. Be the first to tweet Barry at Barry Molt and get a free copy of the book.
If you're fortunate enough to have an IRA, 401k, or other qualified plan, you also have a tax problem. For example, a $1 million IRA is really worth as little as $600,000 after taxes. Do you really want to give $400,000 or more of your hard-earned retirement savings to the IRS? Most investors and even financial advisors have no idea that a tax-free, market risk-free solution approved by the federal government has been available for more than 15 years. Known as an IRA reboot, it provides tax-free lifetime income and a death benefit for beneficiaries. It can even be used to cover college costs or provide long-term care, all without risk from market losses. And unlike an IRA or 401k, there are no limitations on the amount you can contribute. For your free illustration and financial analysis, a $399 value, call Kelly Financial Services at 708-576-8999. That's 708-576-8999 today.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560, The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Well, each year, over 6 million new businesses launch and millions more grow. This year, Microsoft is sponsoring a very special National Entrepreneurship Week, February 20th to 25th. Here to talk about why and how to participate is Melanie Goss. She's a Senior Business Development Manager for Microsoft and the brainchild behind Entrepreneurship Week. She helps shape Microsoft community connections, deliver strong value to consumers and influencers. Melanie, welcome back to the show.
Happy to be here, Barry. Thanks.
Well, I'm so excited that Microsoft is doing this. Where'd the idea come from, and why is Microsoft sponsoring National Entrepreneurship Week?
Sure. Well, as a company, Microsoft believes in driving change and innovation and growth. And so with National Entrepreneurship Week, we really support and celebrate those who believe in all of these changes along with us. And we really felt this should be a community effort. So with National Entrepreneurship Week, we've reached out to many different companies to join us in growing National Entrepreneurship Week in an organic way to mirror the national journey that these entrepreneurs face in their own growth. So right now we have over 140 companies representing that have joined us in this effort.
And so what events are really planned for this week?
We have a variety of events, both from Microsoft as well as other supporters, but they range in person and virtual across the country. So, for example, in your local area, you may be able to be inspired by a panel of women that will be speaking that day and also doing some networking. You might also be able to join online in conjunction with Yelp and learn how to make the most of your online presence. There really is something for everyone, and we have some core themes against innovation, youthpreneur, boomerpreneur, and women in business to help inspire those entrepreneurs throughout the week, both in line and online and in person.
So no matter where you are, Melanie, with your business, you can really talk to some expert that will be able to help you.
That's correct.
And so I also wanted to talk to you about why you chose innovation and youth entrepreneurship. Why are these the focus for this week?
Well, when we were looking at some research from the Kauffman Foundation, two of the top five ways that businesses are launching is through products and services and IT innovation. So we really took a look at that and said, if we could create a theme around that to help entrepreneurs on that journey, we want to empower them with resources and information so that they can grow and succeed. And also to give those that might be aspiring to start their business the opportunity to get those same knowledge of resources and lifelines that can help them begin their journey as well as grow.
Well, I'm certainly excited to participate. I know in the next 2 weeks, the next two episodes of Business Sanity Talk Radio, we're going to be talking with entrepreneurs and small business owners and other even larger businesses that are involved with Entrepreneurship Week and how they might be able to help other small business owners. And you're going to be back to participate in that.
Yes, looking forward to it.
I am too. Well, Melanie, thanks for being on the show. And I want to thank everybody else for joining this week's radio show. I want to thank our sponsors, Microsoft and Nextiva. I also want to thank our staff, especially our booking producer, Sarah Schaffrin, our in-studio producer, Debbie Schreiner, our marketing manager, Courtney Dury. If you're serious about being more successful this year, you got to give me a call. I've set up a private line. It's 773-837-8250, or you can email me at barry@maltz.com. Isn't this the year that you get your small business unstuck? Isn't this the year that you finally make more money? Isn't this the year that you finally realize the dream why you went into business in the first place? You got to remember, love everyone, trust the few, and paddle your own canoe. I look forward to having you back here next week where we meet some of the small businesses and entrepreneurs that are going to be involved with National Entrepreneurship Week. Have a profitable and passionate day.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Lately, it seems you're not feeling